Tonight on The Whistleblowers, a new documentary from Tucker Carlson is rattling Washington, spooking political insiders, and reopening the debate over the attacks of September 11th, more than 24 years after the towers fell.
The official story on 9/11 is a complete lie. The 9/11 report is a joke.
The old guard is panicking. And why? Because Tucker isn't proposing a new theory, he's resurrecting the unanswered questions that the government has avoided for decades. Questions about intelligence failures and lies that have defied explanation for over 20 years. I'm John Kiriakou, and this is The Whistleblowers. Tonight we take a closer look at the documentary Shaking the Political Establishment. A new film released on Tucker Carlson's digital platform is going viral, and for good reason. He's not pushing theories. He's not claiming something fantastical. He's asking the uncomfortable questions that official Washington has spent more than two decades trying to memory hole. The documentary focuses on what the 9/11 Commission didn't investigate, what intelligence agencies didn't share, and what key officials still refuse to disclose. One of the key topics, Building 7, the 47-story tower that collapsed hours after the Twin Towers, a collapse that firefighters, engineers, and skeptics have questioned since day one. Tucker also highlights the Pentagon security camera footage, or rather, the lack of any footage, dozens of tapes seized by federal agencies, never released. And then there are the intelligence warnings, some of them explicit, that were ignored, buried, or dismissed. The film is receiving predictable backlash, of course, from legacy media, calling it conspiratorial and irresponsible. But I would say this is the opposite. That questioning government narratives is long overdue, and that fear of being labeled a conspiracy theorist has silenced legitimate inquiry. But this is where things get interesting. Because the real story isn't the documentary, of course. It's the reaction to the documentary. For 24 years, 9/11 was treated as a closed case, a sacred narrative. And yet the public mood is changing. Americans are angry, not just at, quote, foreign actors, but at the people who controlled the information, the politicians who lied, and the intelligence agencies that have benefited. The 9/11 Commission's conclusions were written before the investigation even began. Philip Sharon, in his book, The Commission, The Uncensored History of the 9/11 Investigation, the Commission's executive director, Philip Zelikow, and his former professor, Ernest May, quote, had already prepared a detailed outline of the final report, complete with chapter headings, subheadings, and sub-subheadings, unquote, before the Commission staff even had its first meeting. The most important questions, from Building 7 to the dancing Israelis to intelligence warnings to Saudi involvement to missing pages, were either minimized or buried entirely. And up until today, we continue to learn more. Because just last year, The Times revealed that British authorities were pressured into releasing a suspected 9/11 plotter by the name of Abdelghani Masoudi, tied to the same Hamburg cell as Mohammed Atta, after U.S. officials refused to share the evidence they said they had. U.K. investigators believed he was connected to the lead-up to the attacks, but without any cooperation from the FBI, they were forced to just let him go. And the newly released documents suggest why. Handing over that evidence would have raised uncomfortable questions about what U.S. agencies knew before 9/11 and what they failed to act on. Another piece of the same pattern, warnings missed, evidence withheld, and yet anyone who asks about it is smeared. They're dismissed. They're silenced. Well, tonight we're going to talk about why. Joining me now to break this all open is Brett Eagleson. Brett is the president and founder of 9/11 Justice. Brett, thanks for joining us. Good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Brett, you have spent years now fighting for transparency for the 9/11 families. When you hear about this documentary, and more importantly, the reaction to the documentary, what stands out to you the most? What does it confirm about what the families have been saying for decades now?
Well, the families have been fighting tooth and nail, it feels like, for 24 years with no help from our government. And, you know, that's one of the things that keeps me up at night is how can it be that the United States government, who, you know, by and large pledged to never forget, members of Congress called my mom, members of Congress called all of us and said, we will do everything we can to honor the loss of your loved ones, to get to the bottom of this and to figure out the truth. Well, 24 years later, we've been left to fight not only the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, who has tried to derail our investigation, but our own government has left us trying to search for answers and trying to find the truth with our hands basically tied behind our back. So this documentary is not surprising. I did watch it myself. It raises a lot of interesting questions. It raises a lot of questions and that have been at the core of what our mission has been. And, you know, one of the things that is just a tragedy, and it's a re-victimization of these victims, of my family and of the nearly 3,000 American families who lost loved ones that day, is the fact that our government keeps critical information behind lock and key. And that only serves to propel these conspiracy theories. I can't tell you how many times I've received letters in the mail. I just received one from an inmate in a correctional facility in Michigan telling me that, you know, it was Russia and China that knocked down the World Trade Center towers. I've seen people suggest that they were energy laser beams from alien spaceships. And, you know, all this does is it just serves to diminish the credibility of the true patriots and the Americans that gave their lives that day, my father especially, who stayed behind to help evacuate those towers.
That's right.
So shame on our government. It's sad. And, you know, I got to tell you, John, I am a really proud American. I mean, you can't get more American than me. My last name is Eagleson. I was born on Super Bowl Sunday. I grew up on Independence Way. You know, I'm a blue-eyed, blonde-haired kid. Lost my father in 9/11. I fly an American flag outside my house every single day because I love this country, but
That's right.
Wish our government had our backs, and I wish our government did something to help us.
And our government owes you the truth. For years, the families were told that questioning the official story was insensitive or that it was politicizing tragedy. But the documentary suggests that the real politicization came from the government withholding evidence. How do you respond to that?
I mean, it's very clear. So everything that I've been focused on, or the majority of what I've been focused on, is the connections back to who supported these hijackers. So the mainstream narrative would have you believe that somehow 19 thugs, 19 cavemen with no knowledge of English, no money,
yeah,
no experience of Western culture, no idea how to fly a plane, were able to come together and pull off the single most consequential and devastating attack in American history that changed the lives of Americans forever, and they did it with no help.
Yeah.
They just did it by the seat of their pants, and they did it with no help. I've always pushed back on that. I've always had questions as to, wait a minute, none of this makes sense. How could they have gotten here? How could they do it without help? And they've always had this support network behind them. So if it weren't for the family members to question that official narrative and poke holes at it, then we wouldn't be in the situation that we're at today, where we have a lawsuit pending against the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, where there's this revelation, or this revelation, of information coming to light that British intelligence knew within days of after the 9/11 attacks that a Saudi intelligence operative was funneling support. We wouldn't know, and we can certainly get into all that, but we wouldn't be here at this moment, and I wouldn't be talking to you, and I would have nothing to tell you about the untold story of 9/11, about what we've now learned 24 years later against and pushing back. We've had to do this, by the way. Push back against every single administration. So
absolutely,
it started with Bush. It was perpetuated under Obama, made worse by Trump. Biden helped a little bit, and now we're back with Trump again, who now seems to be buddy-buddy with MBS and the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
I'm glad that you brought this up. You may or may not know that I was responsible for the capture of Abu Zubaydah in Pakistan. We believed at the time that he was the number three. But one of the things that we also captured that day was his diary. And in his diary were the personal cell phone numbers of three members of the Saudi royal family. So we went to the Saudi government, to the Saudi royal family. We said, this is utterly unacceptable. We want these people. And then over the course of the next couple of months, as the Saudi government was ostensibly looking for them, one was killed in a single car accident on the Riyadh to Jeddah highway. One of them underwent stomach surgery and died on the operating table. And the third went camping in the desert and died of thirst. So Donald Trump said years ago on national television that it wasn't the Iraqis who blew up the World Trade Center. Take a look at Saudi Arabia. Truer words were never spoken. We're going to roll that clip.
They weren't there. They didn't find them. They found nothing. Who blew up the World Trade Center? It wasn't the Iraqis. It was Saudi. Take a look at Saudi Arabia. Open the documents. We ought to get Bush or somebody to have the documents opened because, frankly, if you open the documents, I think you're going to see that it was Saudi Arabia.
I think he's right. I think if you open the documents, you're going to see that it was Saudi Arabia. So, Brett, that's a completely different stance from what we saw just a few months ago when the president welcomed the Saudi crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, into the Oval Office. So how do we explain this change? Did they get to him?
I'm really glad you raised that point because President Trump is a man who is never shy about taking credit for when he's right. And, you know, here's a moment where the president of the United States can say, look, in 2016, I called it. I knew it. And, you know, we all know President Trump to be somebody who claims his victories. And, you know, now when pressed on the subject, you know, this is never mentioned. The fact that Saudi Arabia is in court in a separate but equal branch of government and they're facing a lawsuit for the murder of my father and nearly 3,000 Americans, that's never addressed. You know, I think the change, and to be fair and to be honest, is that the Saudi Arabia that we're litigating and the Saudi Arabia of 20 years ago, or 25 years ago at this point, it's really a different Saudi Arabia than there is today. I think MBS, love him or hate him, you know, he's certainly done a lot of things to try to reform that country. He wants to host a World Cup. He's allowing women to drive. He is turning into a progressive leader that wants to ingratiate himself with the West. And, you know, that's all good. You know, we're never going to be the one to stand in the way of a country trying to modernize itself and give fair and equal rights to its citizens. But none of that should be allowed to be done, and these relationships with the West shouldn't be allowed to happen until we address the sins of their past. Just because it's a new leader doesn't mean that Saudi Arabia doesn't have accountability, doesn't mean the hard questions shouldn't be answered, and doesn't
That's right.
mean that we don't deserve the truth.
That's right. Hang on, we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we'll dig into more of the revelations coming out about 9/11 almost 25 years later. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. We're speaking with Brett Eagleson. He's the president and founder of 9/11 Justice. Brett, welcome back.
Thank you.
We're now seeing newly declassified documents and foreign reporting, Brett, like the UK case, for example, involving Mazzouti, that contradict this long-standing official narrative. Do you believe there's a crack in the dam? Maybe it's finally starting to break?
Absolutely. You know, I think that as the years go on and folks that were involved in the intel community, as they start to retire or fade out or even pass away at this point, there's more and more of a drive to get to the bottom of this. These family members, my family, the hundreds that I talk to, we're never going to give up. We're never going away. So, you know, a lot of times, like, the theory has been that the intel community wants to just say, oh, if we just keep it classified long enough, it's eventually going to blow over. Like, look at what they tried to do with the Epstein stuff. This is one true thing where there's just far too many of us. So if, you know, God forbid somebody knocks me off, right, there's 100 people behind me pushing and waiting, and they keep want to go. So there's no simple answer here. The only true answer is disclosure, and it is the truth. And that's one thing that, like, I think the biggest thing that's come in the past year or so is the fact that our government knew very early on, within 10 days of 9/11, they knew the connections to Saudi Arabia. They told their agents to call the British authorities in Scotland Yard and go raid Omar El-Bayoumi's apartment. Yes. Now, the FBI said that Omar El-Bayoumi was a Saudi operative, and the documents that they received from that apartment were buried because they were incriminating and incredibly damning. And, you know, what ended up happening was is that the FBI calls their counterparts over in Birmingham, England, and they say, go to this guy's house and take everything you can. And they received literally troves of documents and video. The video that they received was Omar El-Bayoumi, who our own FBI calls a Saudi intelligence operative, mm-hmm. filming the United States Capitol and casing it, mm-hmm. referring to the plan, calling attention and addressing his brothers and sisters and saying he's going to report back later. He's filming the egresses and ingresses. He's filming the structural supports. He's filming the nearby airport. He's making reference to the National Monument. He's doing all these things. He's casing the U.S. Capitol. Now, I'll remind the viewers that the fourth plane that went down, that was taken down or either shot down in the field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, its intended target was the rotunda of the Capitol building. So you've got a guy who's a Saudi agent in his apartment in Birmingham, England, in possession of a video filming and casing the Capitol. In addition to that, he has a sketch, a legal notepad, a 9x11 yellow piece of paper with a sketch of an airplane on it, and next to it is an algorithm. The FBI takes that and they go to top aviation analysts and they say, what the hell do these numbers mean? And the aviation analysts say, geez, that's a really rudimentary way of how to plug in distances and find the rate of descent you need to hit a target on the horizon. That was in this guy's house who has a video of the Capitol. I'll give you one more just incredibly piece of information that was taken from that man's house. He had the video, he had the hijackers on camera. He was hosting a party and he videotaped the whole freaking thing. And he's with the hijackers, with also has a sketch of the airplane and has the casing video of the U.S. Capitol. You would think 14 days after 9/11, that would have been front page news and we would have been getting the guns ready to invade Saudi Arabia.
That's right.
That information was buried and kept from the 9/11 commission, and it wasn't made public until 23 years later.
If Congress or the White House called you tomorrow and offered a real independent 9/11 investigation with subpoena power, of course, what questions would you want them to answer first?
One thing that keeps me up at night is, why was the Saudi Arabian role buried? What's the connection? You can't tell me that an FBI agent who had received this information from the UK, from Scotland Yard, did nothing with it. It, you know, two weeks after 9/11, SEAL Team 6, the entire United States government was looking for the perpetrators of who just sucker punched us. Mm-hmm. The entire world, was on notice. So you can't tell me that the team of FBI analysts who gets this information from the UK just forgets about it or does nothing. I've heard the excuse that they were trying to prevent the next terrorist attack and all that, but eventually somebody's got to come across this. Now, Mike Morrell, the former deputy director of the CIA, was asked about this video live on CBS Face the Nation. And Mike Morrell says, I was President Bush's personal briefer. If I had seen this video, I would have briefed him within an hour of this information that came from the UK government. And he said, I simply didn't see it. So either somebody's lying or there is gross incompetence. So the first question, the number one thing that keeps me up at night, is why was this information buried and kept from not only the families, but the American public? The way of life changed for everybody in this country. The way you go to a concert, the way you get on an airplane, the way you go to a stadium, it's forever changed and we're never going back. Your rights, my rights, all of our rights have been surrendered, right? In this yes. manner and spirit of less civil liberties for more safety. Why don't we have the truth 25 years later? You can't tell me, as a former CIA officer yourself, do sources and methods still matter 25 years later? Like, haven't
almost
we changed?
Never. Almost so, never. Yeah, you're exactly right. I can tell you, I've known Mike Morrell for 35 years. Mike Morrell probably wouldn't have known about such a video because it would have been withheld from him. He was a senior officer on the analytics side, but the operational people would have withheld something like that. I was going to ask you a question about the FBI and what the FBI withheld, but it's not just the FBI. The FBI and the CIA withheld information, not just from each other, but from people within each organization. I mean, it seems to me like that's the biggest roadblock out there. It's not that the information doesn't exist. It's that the information has been purposely buried and has been kept from the American people.
What do you do 24 years later?
Exactly.
It's almost like, what, we're going to go invade Saudi Arabia now?
Exactly.
Right? Like, we don't want that. I'm the last person that advocates for more foreign intervention. Like, I want peace in the Middle East. I want to move this forward, but I still want closure. As Americans, as citizens of the world, we deserve humanity. We deserve the truth. And, you know, one thing that drives me is I think when my kids go to school and they learn about 9/11, we are writing history as we speak. So they need to get that narrative right. They need to reset that narrative. It can't be that 19 hijackers with no knowledge and nothing were able to pull this off. That's the narrative that the mainstream has wanted us to believe, but there's so much more to unpack there, and there's so much more behind that story.
I've got to ask you, you said something at the start of our talk that this has stretched from Bush all the way to Trump. This is not a partisan issue. There have been Democratic presidents and Republican presidents coming and going, and we still don't have the truth. So every one of these presidents promised us transparency. And in reality, none of them have provided transparency. They've protected the same secrets. Why do you think that is? Why hasn't a single president come forward and said, the American people deserve the truth about what happened that terrible day? I, as president, deserve the truth of what happened that terrible day. Why haven't we had a president like that?
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of theories. Personally, I think that if the truth were to come out, there is going to be a lot of embarrassment. Why didn't we act upon the intelligence? Why did we kind of lay our guard down? Why did we sort of let some of this stuff happen? Did we have the line out and trying to reel in a bigger fish? And in doing so, we went and got ourselves attacked and 3,000 Americans murdered. I also think that a lot of the Iraq war has to do with the fact that there's been this cover-up. As I've told you, 10 days after 9/11, our government, or at least the FBI and CIA, knew very well the links and ties to Saudi Arabia. And geez, it's kind of hard to justify going and invading Iraq when you totally brushed by Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. You'll remember that the only planes that were in the sky 2 days after 9/11 were private charters of Saudi officials out of this country. They were escorted by FBI agents and flown out, never to be asked questions, never to return to this country again. So how do we justify proactively invading a country on bad intel and, you know, the slaughter of 3,000, 4,000 of American troops and all the PTSD and all the innocent Iraqis that were killed as a part of that? How do we justify that, knowing that we didn't even ask the tough questions about Saudi Arabia? So I think that there's a lot of embarrassment that there was failures by our intel agencies beforehand, and then there was the cover-up for the fact that we went and invaded the wrong country, as President Trump, then candidate, duly noted.
That's right. Brett, I have to ask you, Senator Ron Johnson, a Republican from Wisconsin, is advocating the creation of a new 9/11 commission to get to the bottom of it for once and for all, to address exactly these issues that you've highlighted here. What's your position on a new 9/11 commission, and do you think that we might actually see one?
Hopefully we will, but it has to be done right, and we have to avoid the mistakes of the past. Now, the 9/11 commission was an underfunded, rushed, bit of a, as Tucker Carlson called it, a joke. Phil Zelikow was put in place by the Bush administration to be the gatekeeper. They didn't have enough time, they didn't have enough money, and as you pointed out on the prelude, they came out with the conclusion before the investigation even started. So the 9/11 Commission came out with its conclusion in 2004. Operation Encore was the secret FBI investigation that didn't start until 2006 and went all the way until 2016. So you had over a decades-long investigation post the findings of the 9/11 Commission. The 9/11 Commission didn't even have the intel. They didn't have the stuff from Great Britain. They didn't have the stuff about Bayoumi. They didn't have any of that. So if we are to have another investigation, a true and real investigation, it needs to be done with buy-in from the 9/11 community, our community, our lawyers, our families, we're now the experts. You know mm-hmm. what? The intel agencies had their opportunity when to investigate it, and they mm-hmm. screwed it up.
That's
and
right.
They haven't come to the right conclusion. Let us take over. Let us be the guiding North Star in this investigation. And I welcome Senator Ron Johnson's attention to this. And I know that he would have an active and willing partner in Senator Blumenthal, who's my senator and Ron Johnson's colleague and co-chair on the Senate PSI committee. So if you ask me if I think it's going to happen, I absolutely think there's a real chance, but we have to keep the pressure on and the attention on this issue, because right now there's a lot of distractions these days, and America, I believe, as a country, we owe it to ourselves to focus on this. Let's not get distracted. You've got Johnson saying he's willing to do it. I'm telling you, Blumenthal is willing to do it. They have subpoena power, and involve the families. Let's question those FBI agents who worked Operation Encore. Let's question some of the reasons why Omar El-Bayoumi wasn't called back to the United States, and let's finally get some answers.
That's right. Brett Eagleson, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate that. Thank you. Tonight's documentary doesn't give us every answer, of course. It doesn't claim to. But what it does reveal is this. For 24 years, Americans have been misled, silenced, divided, and intimidated out of asking legitimate questions about what was the deadliest attack ever on U.S. soil. And here's the truth. Systems don't fail accidentally. Narratives don't protect themselves, and cover-ups don't last this long unless powerful people benefit from them. We deserve answers, and the families of 9/11 deserve the truth, unredacted, unsanitized, and unmanipulated. Please subscribe to my Substack at John Kiriakou. Stay informed, and as always, keep asking those hard questions. I'm John Kiriakou, and thanks again for joining us for another episode of The Whistleblowers.